John Hartwell, athletic director at Utah State, on the Smart Rain guest line, kind enough to join us. John, how are you?
Hey, doing well. How are you today, Scott?
I'm doing well. Always good to catch up. And look, there's never a it never seems like there's a slow moment. You're in COVID. You deal with all the issues last year, and we're still kind of in it right now. But, you know, you're going to have full stadiums and the teams back together, and things should have some level of normalcy. And now you got all this realignment stuff going on. There's never really a dull moment, is there, for an athletic director?
No, not at all. There absolutely is not. So,
are you, just from a personal standpoint, I know you got a lot of ties to the South. Were you surprised by any of this news?
Sorry, I lost you there, Scott. Say it one more time.
I was just saying, I know you have a lot of ties to the South. Were you surprised by any of the news that came out last week?
You know, the one thing is how close to the vest this whole deal was kept. And it's, you know, it's my understanding, really outside of Greg Sankey and maybe one other person in the SEC office and, you know, the presidents at Texas and Oklahoma, respectively, that there were not, this was not a large circle of people who made these who made these chess moves. And so surprising, yeah, I mean, totally. But in today's world, nothing should be shocking. Surprising, but not shocking.
What are the conversations being had, not just at Utah State, but pretty much every athletic program and every, you know, conference as well, in preparation of what the next few months or what the next year might hold in terms of the ripple effects of this?
Yeah, and listening to your comments before I hopped on, I think direct impact, you know, not a ton right away, but I think indirect effects and domino effects certainly there. In fact, I was just in a vice president's meeting with President Cockett, and they asked me to address some of this. So I would say this, in terms of direct Mountain West impact, no membership changes today or tomorrow, although we do have a task force that actually is meeting here in about 45 minutes for our first official meeting, made up of some of the presidents and the athletic directors in our league, to talk about, you know, being proactive as opposed to reactive. I mean, the worst thing you can do is say, oh, this isn't going to affect us, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have two, three, four of our members who are inquiries are made, and they're off to another league. So we don't want to get caught in a situation like that. Here's what I think immediate impacts are. So quite a few of our schools, including Utah State, we've got future SEC games on our schedule. You know, for us, playing in Tuscaloosa next year and then playing Mississippi State in Starkville in 2024. I do think this move of Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC, and I should preface this by saying anybody who thinks that those schools are going to stick around in the Big 12 through the existing media contract or, you know, through 2025, I think you're kidding yourself. I would be shocked if it's not done 1 year out, because it's not healthy for anybody, either those schools departing or the remaining schools in the Big 12, to have, you know, multiple schools in lame duck status. So I just don't see that, you know, happening. So let's say the scenario, you know, 1 year out, you know, that this time next year, you know, you have a 16-team SEC makeup with Texas and Oklahoma in the mix. I firmly believe they are going to go to 9-team conference or 9-game conference play. You know, the most popular belief is that there would be four-team pods, for lack of a better term. You'd play the three teams in your pod every year, and then the other three pods, you play two teams each in there. So if all of a sudden they go to 9-game conference schedule, You know, and schools have non-conference games scheduled 5, 6, 7, 8 years out. They're going to have to cut some games. So is it out of the realm? And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but is it out of the realm that Alabama looks down its schedule for next year and says, hey, one of these four non-conference games we've got to cut. You know, we have a contract with Utah State, and there's a $1 million buyout in there. But, oh, by the way, we're going to get – we, the SEC, is going to get a whole lot of money from the buy-in of Oklahoma and Texas. So the league may use some of that money to buy out of contracts. So I think that could have an impact, not necessarily on Utah State. It could. But on other teams in our league that have SEC teams scheduled. You know, the other thing is, and none of us have a crystal ball, but my belief is probably their first – the existing or the remaining eight members of the Big 12, that, you know, probably their first four phone calls, and they may not even – I doubt they even have to make those phone calls. I'm sure Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner, has already been inundated by people who said, hey, we would be happy to join this league. But I would think the four most logical first steps would be University of Central Florida, University of South Florida, Houston, and Cincinnati. I mean, all of those have had success in the American Athletic Conference. They've got significant budgets. They've got budgets that, you know, are as close as any group of five schools to a Power Five budget. When you look at the Florida market, which all of those schools are recruiting Florida kids, you have two institutions there, both that have enrollments north of 60,000. Those make sense. You know, Houston may be the one where people would question, because is Texas Tech or TCU going to take issue with another Texas school in there? Well, they just lost to Texas school, so they may not. But to me, those would be the first four calls. I do know some, you know, and there's some schools in our league, including Utah State, that have had success, have made facilities improvements and stuff like that. But I just don't see you know, any of our schools being the first tier that they look at. And again, not necessarily because of success or anything else, but by enrollment, by facilities, by geographic location, I think those all play important factors there. But if that scenario happens, I do think some members of our league would be pursued by the American Athletic, and that's where the domino effect could come into play.
Would it be reasonable to say that perhaps as everybody looks to get bigger and stronger, and granted, the commissioner of the AAC and Craig Thompson, I'm sure, would be a little wary of this because nobody wants to lose their job, but could you see maybe a merging or a schedule or at least a schedule agreement with the Mountain West and the AAC if one of those conferences or if both of those conferences got pillaged a little bit by the Big 12?
Yeah, I think that's certainly an opportunity. I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunities out there, too. You know, there's been a lot given, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this from the perspective of super conferences and what would that look like. You know, there's long been this theory out there that at some point you may see the five A5 leagues converge or condense into four leagues and four 16-team leagues. You know, that something could happen along those lines too. But again, just the ripple effect of the whole Oklahoma and Texas decisions, I think at this point anything is out there possible on the table.
Sean Hartwell, Athletic Director at Utah State, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Let's talk about your football team. Camp starts here very soon. Talked to Blake Anderson down at Mountain West Media Day last week, and Savon Scarver and Shaq Bond, and there is a real sense of kind of a new energy, a new excitement around that program, where I know maybe the pundits and the talking heads may not have had you guys high on that poll, but I get a sense this team has a chance to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of optimism, and I'm, you know, very optimistic. Blake and his staff have come in and done a great job, you know, with the combination of some returning players, and some new faces in as well. Hey, Scott, I got to stop you for just a second here because I'm sure there's going to be a thread on our message boards. That Freudian slip that you had when you said Pac-12 media days, I'm sure somebody's going to start a thread that says, hey, the Aggies are going to the Pac-12.
I like it. Let's get that rumor going out there. Let's see if we get some traction there.
but yeah, a lot of optimism around football, and you know, a credit to our staff, a credit to our student athletes who have trained hard in the off season, and you know, they're excited about kicking it off in Pullman here, you know, in just a few weeks. And you know, I've had this conversation quite a few times with Blake and his staff. You know, if you look at our first 5 weeks, it's a grind. I mean, obviously a tall task going to Pullman and playing, you know, Washington State, Pac-12 opponent. We're looking forward to that opportunity. Then you come home the next week and play North Dakota, who advanced, you know, in the FCS playoffs just this spring. You turn around and say, hey, Blake Anderson, welcome to the Mountain West Conference. Not only are you going to have to play the triple option, but you're going to have to play it on the road for your first Mountain West game. And then come home the next week, and we're obviously really excited about having network television, CBS here, for a 10 a.m. kickoff breakfast with Boise, as some of our staff is calling it, the next week. And then, you know, following that up the following Friday with our rivalry game against BYU. So, yeah, that's a pretty strong start. But again, a lot of optimism on both sides of the football, as well as special teams. You know, Savon, as you mentioned him earlier, was named preseason Mountain West Special Teams Player of the Year. So a lot of optimism, and we're excited to get it kicked off.
You know, back to the building of your program and making sure you're ready if the moment calls. Utah State's done a lot, especially over the last 15 years, in terms of the north end zone and the training facility and the weight room and the new press box. But it's like when you remodel your kitchen, you know, 5 or 6 years from then, your wife's looking like, you know what, I think our cabinet should be white now. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got to go through the process again, and, you know, you continue to update and go from that standpoint. You guys have put in a lot of work, but I'm sure that to make yourself as appealing, as you mentioned, facilities is a key to all of that. I'm sure that's always on your radar in terms of making sure that you're keeping up with the Joneses in that regard.
Hey, Scott, that's a great analogy there. And you know, when my wife does that in our house, I'm like, sure, honey, let's look into that. And you almost have the same response to coaches. Sure, Blake, or sure, Ryan, or sure, any other coach, we'll look into that. You know, you've always got to be open to opportunities. You've got to be realistic in those opportunities. Sometimes you can't do what you can't pay for. You've always got to be looking at facilities, opportunities to enhance the experience for our student athletes. And because if you're not, the people we're competing against certainly are, so you can't rest on your laurels and say, oh gosh, we've done these 10 things on the checklist, let's just go into coast mode for the next 3 or 4 years. Because if you go into coast mode, your competition is passing you by.
By the way, I had a chance to chat with Sam last week. I know he was up in the facilities. For a guy that won back-to-back conference tournaments, and then the next year he's in the NBA, wins an NBA title, it's been a good few years for Sam Merrill in Utah State.
Yeah, it really has. And I asked somebody, you know, you're even more of a sports junkie than I am. I asked somebody the other day, I said, if you consider the 2020 Mountain West conference championship game, and then obviously this year in the NBA, so Sam Merrill has gone his final year in college and his first year as a professional of winning his final game. I think somebody said Magic Johnson, possibly with Michigan State, his final year, yeah, as a collegian, and then the Lakers the next year. But that's got to be less than one handful of people who can make that claim that Sam can.
Wow, that's a good point. I'm going to have to dig into that a little bit and see who else is out there. Winning your last game as a as a college player and your last game as a NBA player, that's pretty impressive. Well, John, we appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's always good catching up with you. Thanks for your insight, and can't wait to get this season started. Let's go.
Thanks. I'm ready for it. Let's do it, Scott. Thanks so much.
You got it. John Hartwell, one of the good guys right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.